Father, we thank you for the privilege of again meeting in your house and opening your word, which is opening you. Reveal yourself by the Holy Spirit tonight so that we become rekindled, excited, empowered. Those are all the things that you promised. So we receive your promise now to be edified, to be better for you and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody have a testimony they want to share?
I do.
I thought so.
This last week, I listened to the message of Sunday the 17th of 2001, the first Sunday after 9-1-1. And there was some prophecy in that message and some things spoken about some of the people in here and to some of the people in here. And I'll tell you, it was uplifting, one of the best messages I've heard yet. And I recommend, if you can, to get a copy of that message. And even in that message, Stan said that we would find them in the holes where they are hiding. And that's exactly what happened. And I tell you, it encouraged me. It told me that there's nothing to fear, that God's got everything under control.
He knows where they hide, right?
That's right.
What was the title of that message? Was that the Sunday after 9/11?
Yeah.
That's our God against theirs. It's our God against theirs. And what's strange about that is if you read the book, the whole thing's predicted and we know how it comes out. So it's not even a real question. It's just a statement. It's our God against theirs.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So they will lose. They are losing.
Amen.
There'll be some things happen before the end that make it look like they might be winning, but we have that happen every day, so what's the difference? What's new?
Yep. Amen.
They never win. Anyone else? All righty. Well, Jose, welcome. Glad you're here with us tonight. You'll find we're not a normal church. I don't like normal churches. I'm a little bit like you. I'm not thrilled about Pentecostal or Assembly of God or Nazarene or Catholic or anything else. Because if you study the book of Revelation, you find out the person, the entity that we have to watch out is religion. It's not a person, it's religion. It's a spirit. And that spirit generally is alive and well in a denomination. And it can be very much alive and well in a non-denomination. So it's something that you got to guard against. But I'm going to tell you something. As we're studying the Holy Spirit, the one thing that I'm greatly encouraged in is that He is faithful and close.
All right.
To reveal the harlot, to reveal the monsters in our life called religion. If you do follow God, I said earlier, He's not predictable. And the reason He's not predictable is because if He were, it'd be religion.
Yep, right. That's right.
Everybody here should know that God is, you don't create Him in your likeness and image. But the way He created you, He'll be the God to that person. And that is an individual. Remember when I told you about the fingerprint? Everybody's different. Doesn't make any difference what? Doesn't make any difference how many come along, every fingerprint will be different. And that is because we were created in His likeness and image. That means the image in His mind we were created in.
Amen.
And He's got an awful lot of images up there.
Yeah.
And He'll be a God to that image, to that person that He created.
Amen.
That means He's going to keep us different.
God.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Keep us different. Now, our job is so that I have to, my job is not to have to put up with you. You know what that statement infers? That's right. That statement infers that I'm only pleased with me. That's also religion. That's our nature. If you're not like me, you know, I told somebody here a few days ago that, listen, everybody is faced with two feelings inside of them. You need to be like me, or I need to be like you. Come on. Everybody has that feeling. They have this hero or this thing they look up to, and say, I would like to be like that. Or that same person says, I think you need to be like me.
I want you to think like I do.
That's right. Act like I do. Understand it the way I do. Now, we can't slough that feeling because God put us in there. God put... See, I've told you openly before, Jesus is my hero. Amen. There's not a man on the face of the earth that I want to be like. I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Now, come on. That's how we get away from those two feelings, is we get born again. We get... Our mind is renewed with the fact that I don't care what Harry can do or Bill can do. Some of those I admire, but I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, if a gift or an anointing or a talent, God gave that to you, maybe he'll give it to me and I'll be like you, or I'll be better, or I'll be worse, but I will in the same track. But I'm not going to be disappointed because I can't produce like you can. You're not supposed to be disappointed if you can't produce like me. That's a calling and a gifting. God's in charge of that. We'll leave it at that.
Amen.
Therefore, my gaze doesn't fall because I fail, or it doesn't get high because I can do better than you. Right?
Right.
Now, I also told this person, let me ask you something. What feeling do you think I should have? I'm supposed to be the head of this thing. What feeling do you think that I should have? I should be like you, or you should be like me?
We should be like you.
Now, if I didn't have that little bit of feeling inside of me, how could I stand up here and speak to you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to convince you of anything if I didn't have some kind. Now, what do I base that you need to be like me on? Well, I'm beautiful. Yeah, we'll just get right to it. It's not because I can dance better, sing better, play better, or even speak better. You'll find that in the Bible. That was never a prerequisite.
Nope.
It's a matter of, first, God puts that in you to teach or to preach or whatever you want to call it. And then according to the Word, the Holy Spirit puts in you to be righteous and holy.
Amen.
And if you can understand those things, then you can look at somebody and say, listen, I want to tell you what God has told me. I'll even go further than that. If you'll do what I'm telling you, everything will be like it's supposed to be.
Yep.
Now, too many times we have people doing that. They don't know what they're talking about. I've had people come up and preach to me false word in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Quote scripture. You know how to misquote scripture? Use one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Use one, and you'll misquote the scripture. If all you can think of is one scripture, you're misquoting scripture. Because if you're just using the one, you're trying to sell me something based on that one. It says, let everything be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses.
That's right.
And that's why when I show up here to preach, you're not going to hear me. Very, very seldom will I base it on one scripture. Because that means this is the one I wanted. This is the one that I wanted.
It's the one that backs up what I'm trying to convince
you. I'm going to convince you with this one. Well, it's better to convince you with half a dozen.
Amen.
You know who's the best at that? Richard knows. You find love, grace, mercy people, and they'll kill you with one or two scriptures.
Yep.
They'll try to kill you with one or two scriptures. They want to take the God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they want to take the Jesus that walked into the temple and said, you snakes and vipers. And they'll erase all of that.
Right.
And then if you bring that up, they'll say, well, I don't like the way you present Jesus. He presented himself. I didn't present him. He's who he is. Then I can say to that same person, I'm who I am. You be who you are. But I don't want to be who you are. I don't like you.
Amen.
Come on. Is it all right for me not to like somebody?
Absolutely.
The Bible commands me to love them. It never says I have to like them.
Right.
You know why? You know why that is? Because you like Brussels sprouts and I don't. Why don't we just start with a basic principle? That's the reason we're not all the same. Just understand, you're going to like some things I don't like, or we're going to like things together. Those that can agree walk together, and those that can't, they just don't hold hands and walk down the street. That's all that is. Doesn't mean they don't serve the same God.
Right.
You know, we went up Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon, we went up to the top of the mountain. There's nobody there. Behind locked gates, in the National Forest Service area. Nobody's even supposed to be there, but we are. We're working on the building. It's her and I. We're working together. We're eating together. We're sleeping together. We're fighting together. We're playing together. We're doing it all together. Till when we got home this afternoon. How many people can you do that with? Work together. Hard. I mean sweating. Climbing tall ladders. She probably screwed off 1,500 screws by herself. Maybe more. I don't know. She'd tell me it's more. Now, why? Because God has designed her and I to do that.
Right.
How many other people do you think I can do that with? I can tell you who. Whoever will obey my voice and not argue an instant.
Yeah.
That's the only other person I can deal with. Is that right? I didn't say it's right or wrong. I said it's truth. Can I work men? Sure I can. I got to find other things to do so I don't watch them. Because they may not do it just exactly like me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
how many of you have that same feeling?
Oh, yeah.
Now we just nerd. Now, if you want to learn grace and mercy, that's how you do it. You just, my wife, when she I was on top of the roof and she asked me, how do I put this trim on? I told her. She didn't do it that way. And so I got aggravated at her. When it messed up, she's. And so I go, you didn't listen. Don't gripe at me when I tell you to do something, tell you how to do it. Don't ask. If you're not going to do it like I told you, don't ask me. Then to keep things peaceable. She said, all right, I'll do it myself. Now you got it? Now you got it? I thought you were doing it by yourself already. I was doing something else. But as soon as she said, I'll do it by myself, I had total confidence that's what she would do. I didn't go back and check it out. No need to.
Amen.
What do you say?
I can probably work with him, but I don't think I can sleep with him.
Praise God for some things. I saw your legs here. All right. Let's continue our study of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Third person of the Trinity. A person that does not operate independently. A person that operates according to the will of God and the Word of God.
Amen?
Amen? One that is given to us forever, if we want. If we want, if we ask for and receive the Holy Spirit, He is with us forever.
Amen.
Teaching us, edifying us, building us up, educating, reminding us. We're all, I've got that list in there, and we're going to kind of keep going on that until we... And I'm sure there'll be a little repetition in there, but just... All right, let's go to Acts 2.38. That's on the second page. Acts 2.38 says He's given only after we repent and turn from all sins and our life is in Christ Jesus. That's not just one thing, that's several things. You know, I'll tell you, we don't take this serious enough.
That's
right. If we never find anything to repent for, we don't have the Holy Spirit.
Yep. Right, amen.
Now, what is repent? But you know, the only way we can turn from or change directions is to realize we're wrong.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit has a way to enlighten us that we're wrong without beating us into the ground.
That's right.
Now, what's the difference? You know what? When you're serving Satan, he'll convince you to do wrong, and then he'll try to kill you for it.
Yep. Yep. Right. Exactly right.
If it's the Holy Spirit telling you you're doing wrong, he instantly gives you light on that subject. Light on the subject. You are enlightened about it, and you want to change. And if you've done somebody wrong, you want to go to that person and say, you know what? I was wrong about that, and we're not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how most Christians forget the fact that you've got to admit you're wrong. Whew, a lot of heads came up then. You cannot repent unless you admit you're wrong. Come on, you're thinking about it a little bit. I had somebody ask me the other day. Well, it wasn't ask. It was one of those ridicules. I said, you think everything you do is right? I said, yeah. You think I'd do it if it was wrong? Come on, let that sunk in just for a second. If you're doing wrong and you think it's okay, there's something wrong with you. I want everything I do to be right. If it's the way I step out of bed, if it's the way I turn on the light, if there's a better way to do it, I want to know about it.
Amen.
Perfectionist? No. I just want to be right. Amen. Who in the world wants to be wrong? Acts 2:38, given only after we repent and turn from our sins and acknowledge that that happened in Christ Jesus. Why are we saying that? Well, let me just be clear. Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is given by the Father, but only through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Wow. Acts 4:30. He is the initiator or pusher of signs and wonders. Anybody in here would like to see less signs and wonders?
Nope.
So there's something in us that wants, that's pushing us towards the desire to see signs and wonders, okay?
Right.
If we can get this down correctly, what down? Well, faith that believes that will happen now. And two, understanding that it comes by a pushing or initiating of the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Why the Holy Spirit? Why just not signs and wonders all the time? Because God is the power behind signs and wonders, and He's not going to just dump it out in 5-gallon buckets. He's going to do it according to the need at the time.
Yes.
If we could just get it down that the greatest sign and wonder that would ever happen to us at salvation.
That's right.
A total transformation in us. And now if we can understand that we have the Holy Spirit, a person living in us, that's a pretty big step. If we can just get that down.
Amen.
It'll be wise if we do. Okay, Acts 4:31. The Holy Spirit causes things to move and shake. And He gives boldness in that.
Yep.
He causes your ground to shake. When things shake, when they move, that's the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you have to call an earthquake. Which makes you feel better? If the ground starts shaking, you praise God. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Or you say, oh, it's an earthquake. Which is more comforting to you? One, you're safe. The other, you're not. Gives boldness in the Word. What does that mean? Well, the Holy Spirit causes you to believe the Word.
Right.
And what you believe in, you can be bold in.
Amen.
All right, Acts 5:32. Holy Spirit is given to those that obey. They don't obey the feelings, but they obey instructions from the Word. You want to read that scripture, you'll understand it. He is with you, He is helping you, but you have to obey. Now, you obey either feelings or you obey the Word.
That's right. Yeah.
He helps you understand the Word so you'll obey. He helps you understand the difference between feelings and what He's telling you. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. He gives wisdom in business. He gives wisdom in business. Acts 7:55. He fixes our gaze into heaven, causing us to see truth and government. You know why the church is full of people that resist government? They resist the Holy Spirit and the Word. Those that believe the Word, obey the Word, never fear government. Now, we're not talking about false government. We're talking about true government. True government. God's the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of man. Man's the head of woman. True government. Children are below that. Our world tries to teach us to put the children on top and everything else below. The Bible tells you how bad a father you are when you do that. Government. You can read that scripture if you want to understand totally about the government we're talking about. Acts 8:18. He is worth much even to sinners. Sinners will pay to get the Holy Spirit to work for them. You remember the story? Acts 9:31. He edifies and comforts the church. Let me say it another way. He brings peace to church because they're enlightened. Now, we're not talking about Harvard graduates. They're not enlightened. They're just egotized. We're talking about when the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, teaches us. He edifies and comforts the church. Acts 10:22. He warns and directs. He warns, that would be a warning of some impending thing. And he directs. He just doesn't guide us from fear with fear. He directs us into all understanding. Acts 10:38. He anoints to heal and gives power over demons and sickness. Now, where does he get the power? From the Father, right? That's why he doesn't do anything, he doesn't say anything, unless the Father tells him to. That's what Jesus said. He went. That's what his replacement says. Okay? Well, what's the difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit? With this understanding, what's the difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit?
Jesus was God on earth, and the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit moving among us and directing us.
Okay. We're going to stop for a minute. Would you like to fight, Richard?
No. Because I'll be wrong.
Are you a son of God?
Yes, sir.
Was Jesus a son of God?
Yes, sir.
What's the difference between you and Jesus?
I don't have to die on the cross.
Okay.
And I cannot forgive. I cannot die for everybody's sin.
Nobody's asking you to. You said he was God on earth. Are you a son of God?
Yes, sir.
Was he a son of God?
Yes,
what's the difference between you and him? Jesus was made perfect. Was he made perfect? Richard.
Yes, sir.
What did you say?
Yes, sir.
You're made perfect?
No.
Now don't back up on me now. Be bold in this thing. If you're perfect, tell me so.
I'm learning to be perfect.
In God's eyes, we are.
Through the blood of Jesus, you're perfect.
Yes.
That's the bottom line. When he looks at you, he looks at Jesus.
That's right.
The blood of, or looks through the blood. Depends on how people say it. Here's my point. Jesus was not God on earth unless you were God on earth.
Okay.
The Bible says he left his Godhead.
That's right.
There. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. He said he left it there. And came to be a man like you and I with a feeling of every feeling like we have.
Yes.
He's an intercessor and an advocate to the Father because the Father doesn't even feel every feeling we've had.
That's right.
Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
Well, you said that he came as a man, but when the Holy Spirit came down upon him, he was teaching us how to use the Holy Spirit, how to work with the Holy Spirit?
I think so. I think two things. You kind of said a couple of things there. One of them was he walked for 30 years as a man on this earth. Even though something happened when he was baptized, I think he walked by the Spirit. Okay?
Until then he was talking.
I think he was walking by the Spirit even before he was baptized. I think that being baptized in Christ Jesus was only so that we would know what we needed to do. It showed the church where the power of God came from. He didn't have it, then he did have it. You understand what I'm saying? He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk a holy life and be able to say, I don't do anything except of what the Father said. He was empowered to do that by a spirit that not anybody else had at that time. Remember, when he walked there, it was still Old Testament, even though it's registered in the New Testament.
Wasn't he empowered before he was born? Or he was still in the womb and he beat? in the womb?
Mm-mm.
John the Baptist.
See, now that was what was strange. At that time, because he was fathered by the Holy Spirit, by the way, when Mary walked up to that person, was it Elizabeth? John the Baptist leapt in her womb. What caused that? It was the Holy Spirit that was happening right there. So I believe that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit because he was fathered by the Holy Spirit. That's right. But I still think that was signs for us. I don't believe that he needed any more. He didn't need what we need. And that gets more technical because he was not fathered in sin. We were until we got a new father.
Amen.
Now, yes.
In Philippians, Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God."
Y'all like that scripture? It's the one that most people kind of skip over. But it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God." Are you in the form of God?
Yeah.
See, that's the hardest thing. You guys say that easily. Well, you're far beyond most Christians. Because they won't say, "I'm in the form of God." Well, I'm sorry. It says you were created in his likeness and image.
That's right.
"Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Oh. "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." That's why God highly exalted him.
Philippians
2 starts at 5. "Be careful, Richard. I know how much you love God. I know how much truth is in you. But be careful when you tell people that Jesus was God on earth, because what that does is takes away your hero. Because then in you say, but I'm not God on earth. So I can't be like Christ Jesus." Yeah, it makes it an unattainable goal. That's the reason I don't like that, the way that's presented. Because that's where I was raised. Exactly there, Richard. I was raised there and pounded there. My dad would turn backward flips if he heard me say what I'm saying right now. But I don't care, he was wrong. Good man, a good wrong man. Jesus was a man like you and I. Felt every feeling that we have.
That's right.
Tempted as we. God's never been tempted. But he was. See what that's doing? We're not bringing Jesus down. We're lifting us up.
Right.
And that would please God more than bring Jesus down.
Amen.
God's done everything in the world, including his own spirit, to live with us, to raise us up to a level that we can speak like that word right there spoke. The Holy Spirit knows and is trying to teach us this. We have no power. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He has no power. But he brings power. That's you and I. Right? Man, if you talk about the power of God being it's kind of like a banker when he gives a loan. It's not his money. You understand? But the money spends the same. We have this banker, if you want to say that, in us. His name is Holy Spirit. He comes with the ability to issue power from the Father. Well, that's who we are. That's who we are. Therefore, it's not a matter of being equal to God, but it is having all the power and authority. Now, see, that one's hard to spit right there. That we have all of God's power and authority. But that's what the Bible says. Say it again, Richard.
That's because we're adopted into his likeness.
But that's the first form. He doesn't stop there.
No, you're right. It doesn't stop there.
It says we have the spirit of adoption, then we become sons, and then we become heirs.
Mm-hmm.
So we had too much. The church is stuck in the adoption thing. They resist the Son because now you're called a son of God, and that's scary.
Yeah, it is.
But we never can operate in God's power until we move and become an heir.
That's right.
until we receive his bank account, until we receive his mind, until we receive his spirit, we're just walking in either adoption or sonship. We're not moving to the air. And I... Well, Christians do it a lot. They call him Father, but they don't believe they're sons. It's exciting if you'll get the mind straight. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He wants to clear the mind of all the fog of bad teaching. Or, let's not call it bad. Let's just say the teaching didn't take us far enough. However, we can repent from it and turn away. That's what we need to do. That is true. But you know what? Harry, that's why the Holy Spirit's works in good common sense. Let's put it that way. It's called wisdom and light, but that's what common sense is, wisdom and light. Being able to take things and make them work. And what if God has ever given me anything, it's a good case of horse sense. It's got to make sense. It's got to make sense and it's got to work. And the Holy Spirit is faithful, has been very faithful to me when I look at something and say, now, wait a minute. Are you a son of God? There's a scripture in the Bible that says he was the only begotten son of God. Do you know that was no longer true after the first one was saved? Because then there was a second begotten. And then there was a third. And then I'm one of the begotten ones. Jesus can't hold this position alone. He didn't want to. He never wanted to be the only son. Well, the only begotten means at that time, he was the firstborn. Up until then, there was Adam. Right? And he wasn't even born. He was created. Now, if you want to get excited, think about that one. The Adamic man was not fathered by God. He was created by God. Formed of the dust of the earth. You want to go further than that? The earth was more birthed by God than Adam was. Because it says the Spirit moved on the earth. And then he moved on Mary. Amen. What did that say about Jesus? He came as a bondservant? You know what that said?
Yeah, taking the form of a bondservant.
What is this thing that God created by his own Spirit called the earth? What's its form? It's a bondservant. And who's been given charge of it?
We have.
The sons and daughters of God. We need to go any further there? That's a good place to be.
Yeah, it is.
We need to be reminded every once in a while about who we are in God's eyes. Who am I? I'm as much of a son of God as Jesus was. Well, that's your ego speaking. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? No. If truth will set you free, then you're going to be free of lies and ego.
Yes.
But you're not going to be free of people accusing you that you're egotistical.
No.
Sorry. They didn't hesitate in accusing Jesus of all kinds of things. Who do you think you are? All right, Exodus. Acts 10:44. He moves on those that listen and hear word. Now, I want you to get this. Who's got 10:44? What does it say?
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word.
How did the Holy Spirit fall on these people? No.
While they were listening.
While they were hearing the word, the Holy Spirit fell. So what is the avenue, the doorknob, the opener for the Holy Spirit? Hearing the word. Now, when you study the word, you're hearing the word. And we're not just talking about you have to sit and listen. When you are quiet and you're meditating, you're hearing word. Especially if you're meditating on word. We need to get this in our faith so that we'll be so confident. And let's just figure we're a bunch of hard-headed people and we got to grow here some. But if we really want people to be saved and filled, we're going to have to believe or make them hear the word. I know that's kind of a far-fetched thing. You don't make people hear the word, but you got to attempt to. Do you think that it ever, the Holy Spirit could ever move in an argument?
Yeah.
If one party is speaking word.
Yes.
I didn't say quoting King James. I said speaking word. In other words, every thought of mine is based upon a word from God.
Yes.
Every response, if I can keep that temper down, then I can keep the Holy Spirit up. I can keep him in a place where he can remind me. He can give me common sense. He can give me, last week we covered where he gives you the ability to speak in ways that you never thought you could. One of them could be in peace. One of them being in clarity. Given those thoughts, those retorts. I had somebody argue with me last week and they said, you're hard to argue with. You're too quick. Well, I thought that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to quicken you. Right? I'll tell you what else he does. In my case, I'm not going to speak for you, but in my case, many times I know what you're going to say before you say it. Right, Richard? You just talked about it in the message. People get angry at my messages because a lot of times I speak to things in their lives that I don't have to see it. Do you understand? I don't have to see that. God, the Holy Spirit, has already seen it. Now we're speaking to it. I'm not slow. Because I don't serve a slow God. He's not a slow thinker. The Holy Spirit's not a slow thinker. My wife can attest that. You take me out to a job site, and I'm going to be pretty quick to come up with a solution. Any problem. I don't care what it is. Oh, we're saying you're so smart. Oh, please. I know better than that. What are you saying it for? He's smart. The Holy Spirit's quick to respond in God's smart.
Amen.
Yes. Acts 10:45. He respects and regards all the same. No one is above another. You had 10:44. What does 10:45 say?
And it says, those of circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also.
On the Gentiles also. Did you hear what I said? Let's read it one more time.
It said, and those of the circumcised who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also.
You know why they were astonished?
Because they thought it was only for the Jews.
No. Read it again. We're going to get it right.
And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also.
Also. What it did is it surprised both sides of the fence. Surprised both sides of the fence. The Gentiles, they didn't know if it was for only the Jew, but they were getting it, so maybe it's not even for the Jew. The Jews, they thought they had it, and look over there, there's the Gentiles getting it, and so they're surprised. They don't know what to think about it. God's not predictable, right? Whatever you think is holy, he's fixing to touch because he's a jealous God. This is the coolest thing. Whenever you think you got it understood, he's going to touch it because he's not going to allow any other total understanding except himself.
Right, amen.
Mm-hmm. And this is good. This is not bad. This is a good thing. Because I can tell you, I spent a lot of years believing a lot of things as rock solid. And God touches every one of them. What I mean by God touches? That means he purifies and cleanses and changes. He gives it new life, new understanding, new revelation. Doesn't mean he slaps you down and says, don't believe like that. Acts 11:24. He increases faith. Now, do you think a person that never even had a thought other than the thought of the Father, might, which is the Father of all faith, might increase our faith? If he's given a chance, he's going to persuade us to believe in God more and more, believe in the Word more and more. Our faith increases. That makes sense, doesn't it? He doesn't have anything else in him. You know, he can't convince you of anything but who he is or who the Father is. what we need to understand, all of us. This is a place of church and teaching. Anybody that interferes with that, they leave. I don't care what the reason is. They can wait till after, but they're not allowed to affect the service at all. Amen. That's where we need to be. Anybody that walks back there, if they can't be quiet, they're pushed out. They can come in and sit down and listen, or they can leave. Amen. You're hard. Mm-hmm. I'm just truthful. That's the way it should be, right?
Amen.
All right. Acts 13:2. He separates us for a work. Now, here's what we need to understand. We're not all separated to a certain work. But he separates us for a work that we've been appointed to. Right?
Right.
That's why we're going to think a little different, because it is God's will for us to do that. He separates us for a work. 13:52 says he gives joy. Now,
I can testify to that.
I know you can. And it's joyful for us for you to be able to do that. But I'm telling you something. He didn't say he always gave us joy like we interpret it. The type of joy he's talking about, it covers the whole gauntlet of being peaceful and bold even in the middle of war. You know that's pretty joyful when you can do that? Or even the time when we just laugh. We smile. We giggle at nothing. We giggle at the Holy Spirit gives you a little elbow nudge. And it's light and it's truth and it's revelation. You're going, yeah. Wait, not now. Just see? Acts 16:6. He forbids us to go to some places. Or he hedges us away from certain things. Don't go there. Prevents your way from going. Too many times we complain instead of walking in joy. It's your deal, God. He forbids us. Why would he be able to forbid us? He's just delivering a message from the Father.
That's right.
You can't go there. Do we still have the ability to? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Acts 19:2. He must be invited and he must be received. What does the Word do? Remember a while ago we talked about he comes by, through the hearing of the Word. What does the Word do for the Holy Spirit? Let me say this. Walls are pulled down.
Amen.
If we can describe what happens in salvation as much as anything, our walls are pulled down.
Amen.
We get this kind of a fresh breath. We get a different understanding. Because up until anybody can testify about salvation, up until the time we give up, we're in a hellacious battle. Isn't that right? Until the time we give up to God, we're in a battle. It's just terrible. When we give up, the wall is taken down. The wall of what? Well, the wall of our resistance and the wall of our belief. Or the lack thereof. We don't have to believe anything. Still, that's a belief. So what happens? When this wall is pulled down, we see things different. We understand them different because the Holy Spirit rushes in. We're supposed to operate this way. We're happy when we're going, and we're happy when we're not going. We're happy when we're in ministry, as we can see it, and we're happy in the belly of the fish. When we might have made a wrong turn and we refused and we're still in this now, this subway, really subway, headed for the next ministry.
Yeah.
If we can ever get that down, we'll be a lot easier characters to deal with by God. Well, when it looks bad, God, it's my fault. It couldn't be yours, but I'm on your way.
Yeah.
Acts 19:2. He must be invited. He must ask for. He must be invited and he must be received. Now, what I was talking about is the wall coming down is that's an invitation. I'll tell you what, God, you ring the dinner bell, he'll show up. You don't have to beg him. You get the picture? I mean, if you are the meal today, God's going to eat you. Here I am. I'm consumed. Right? Holy Spirit, I want you. There he's there. Hey, what happened to you? Holy Spirit, now see I've received. Acts 20:28. He gives orders from God. We need to remember this. I don't know why it's so important, but it is. He gives word, orders, descriptions, directions from God.
Okay, can we go back to that last scripture?
No. Yeah, go ahead. What is it?
It says, the latter part of that says, we have not heard so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. What are they asking there? I mean, is the Holy Spirit not been spoken of?
Here's the way I'm going to tell you. Put it in my English. It's helping us to learn what the attributes of the Holy Spirit are. But we didn't know all this when He came. In the Nazarene church where I was raised, you didn't talk about the Holy Spirit too much. Because then somebody might talk about tongues or something, and now I know you are the devil. So people, what I'm trying to say is, as I was raised in the Nazarene church, what I know about the Holy Spirit? I knew that was a word. I knew He's the third person of the Trinity. That don't get you anywhere. That's what they're saying. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. It's kind of like He just ran me over, and here He is. I don't know. Who are you?
It's in the Baptist church. I mean, it's like you know that that's the third of the Trinity, and you know that there's a moving of the Holy Spirit when you see people praying, you know, and they come forward and get salvation. But that's about it. You're not going anywhere.
So we know He makes you cry.
Right. You don't want to get too much in the
water. Yeah, we know He makes you cry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now we're educated.
Yeah. That's what I want.
Is that true of the Nazarene church today?
Yes. Probably even more so.
Because I know that the Church of Christ is being of the devil.
Well, they came from the Church of Christ.
Oh, is that?
They had an argument and split.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which, I'm glad they did. Just as a young man, I don't disdain my raising the Nazarene church. Those were good people. Because they started off holy. That's what they were after. They weren't after dancing, yelling, screaming. They weren't wanting to go Pentecostal, as they called it.
Noiserines.
Yeah, they used to be called Noiserines and Holy Rollers. That's when I was a little kid. But it changed fast. Change fast. Religion. Religion. See, when you call somebody a holy roller, Harry, you can't control them. And the whole idea of the Nazarene church is we're going to get this government in and control you. Their whole idea was they have about five general superintendents over the whole world. And then they have a district superintendent, which every state is a district. Or if it's high populated, then there's multiple districts. I belong to the San Antonio District Church of the Nazarene. And every piece of property that has a Nazarene sign is owned by the general church. First the district and then the general.
So they have BS, GS.
And the people...
Okay.
No, control. It's control. That's what it's all about. You couldn't have a pastor unless the district superintendent, number one, recommended him and number two, approved him. And the way you were promoted was you started off in the little baby churches, broke, busted, and disgusted. And if you were good, you got the bigger, 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 which made the district superintendent look good, which maybe he might make it a general superintendent one day. It was all business. It just turned into business. That's, you know, and they were good people. The people I knew, all of them were good people, but they just... Anytime you make your pastors businessmen, you lose the spirit. They had to perform or they didn't get a raise. You had to please the district superintendent. And the only way you could please the district superintendent is if the missions and the budgets, and which were basically a tithe to the general church. And if that preacher didn't force those people to give enough money so they could give to the general church, then he never got promoted. And I know what I'm talking about. About a month or two ago, we had a district superintendent call us and ask us if we wanted to buy the Sinton Church of the Nazarene in Texas. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It's been closed for years. My uncle's the one that built it. but they got outsmarted. My uncle was a good businessman. They were on this little bitty tiny plot with no parking. So my uncle bought the land next door for parking, gave it to the church, and said, as long as this church is open, we'll let you have this on long-term lease. But the minute the church closes, it comes back to us. They can't work through them, so they work through us. Tell them we don't. I've been gone for how many years? And I've been was out of that church for a lot longer than we've been here. But my dad is on the rolls of being on the district advisory board and going to the General Assembly as a elected official to represent the entire district at the General Assembly. So we make some phone calls. Business. By the way, we didn't buy it. We didn't return a phone call. Romans, let's see. Yeah, that's the Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. You know why God took me through all that political nonsense? To show me what not to do. God has been so faithful to give me educations that I could not have bought. Had me into conflicts with the county and the state governments, the local governments, showing me what false government was. Then told me once I learned all about it, now you know what not to teach, what not to obey. You understand that I'm a rebel? Why do you think I'm that way? Because you're not gonna tell me anything that I don't understand. That's number one. I know who I serve. I know who my father is, and I know who is the head of all government. Amen. We had a lady that I did a little work for months ago. We got home, and there was a message on there. She has two wells. This is an old ag place where they used to have ag wells, and then you had one for your house. There's no water provided. And she left a message there, said, there's an inspector says I have to cap one of these wells. Connie says, what do I answer? Show me the law. Inspector of what? Who? Inspect? What do you inspect? Where's your credentials? Where's your background? I'm not capping nothing unless you can show me a law. And don't you come out here with some IRS number. I want to see the law. Well, stand you bold. Okay. Say what you say. I'm also educated in what's false government. You know what's got false government is? Anybody gives themselves a title. That's false government. He'll just get bigger. Romans 5:5. He reveals God's love and hope. Others, not filled, will never understand. Now here's something we need to put in our little pipes and smoke it. Don't try to get others to understand what is the hope within you. You can get them hungry for the hope that's within you, the peace that's in joy, the power, but they will never understand it until the Holy Spirit comes on them. That includes all. That includes so-called Christians. Romans 7:12 reveals to us or shows us that God's law is holy. We respect and love others. No, we respect and love as others do not. Let me point out just one thing. What most of the society has lost is treat others the way you want to be treated. And yet to those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a basic foundation in their life. They don't understand that. You don't understand why they don't understand that. Now come on. Admit that to yourself. You don't understand why they don't understand that you need to treat others the way you want to be treated. You think that's natural. But it's not. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the mind of God. What is the mind of God? It's you becoming the commandments rather than speaking them. You live them rather than talk about them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Romans 8:27 says he makes intercession as God wills. Think about that. He makes intercession as God wills. So now what we have is a report that we have two intercessors. We have the Holy Spirit and we have Jesus. Did y'all ever see that before? Well, it'd have to be if you just think about it, if you'll use common sense again, he has to be interceding if Jesus is interceding.
But it's the Holy Spirit in you telling Jesus.
Now, what's the scripture say? Romans 8:27. What is it?
The Spirit that searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit.
Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
He's searching our hearts.
We'll read all of it.
Because the Spirit is intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. But
I agree with you.
The way I always look at it stands that the Holy Spirit is in me, and he's telling me, and I'm telling, you know, I'm talking to him in the Spirit or whatever.
Okay.
And he knows everything that I do and what I'm going to do. Okay.
I think it's...
He goes directly to Jesus, and Jesus intercedes for us. Okay?
Okay. I think we're saying the same thing, just a different way.
Okay.
Yeah, as God is leading... If he's a workman, a messenger of God, then God's going to say they need to make intercession. Or, and you and I both know that we bungle things when we try to handle it. The Holy Spirit is going to be to make intercession through us. One of them is a prayer language. Right? When you don't know how to pray, yeah. Something in you is bugging you, you don't know where to go. You got to develop this language where you can speak by the Spirit. Or speak what the Spirit is saying, and only God understands. So I think it's the same thing, but he's making an intersection, causing us to change, which is the only reason that Jesus would intercede for us either. Jesus is not begging for our forgiveness. That's not what intercession is. Intercession is, hey, listen, we have to ask for forgiveness. Intercession would be, don't kill him yet. That's the way I feel about it. Give him another chance, and then by the Holy Spirit. See, God wants us to survive and thrive. So when Jesus says, please, God says, Holy Spirit, get busy. Either to cause us to work or get us to repent or whatever we're supposed to do. It's the Holy Spirit's job to explain, reveal, enlighten, push, shove, kick a little bit. And it's kind of like being a pregnant woman. Sometimes a pregnant woman doesn't have a lot of choice in what they do. Because there's something in them kicking hard. Craving. They get these funny cravings, eat strange foods. Holy Spirit in us is going to cause us to have some cravings. Going to cause us to have some, oh, what is that? Right? All for a goal. All for delivering Jesus to this earth.
Amen.
Okay. Why don't we stop here, since my voice is saying I'm tired. Now, once again, I hope that we're learning together.
Amen.
Because I never had a good teacher. I've never been taught about the Holy Spirit. I think I'm being taught now. Well, that's not totally true. I've been taught a lot of strange things about the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're taught by the Nazarenes, and then you're taught by the Assembly of God, and you're taught by the Pentecostals, you don't have the slightest idea what to believe. And there's not a whole lot of difference between Nazarenes and Baptists, except one believes once saved, always saved, which is really a nonsense in the Bible. I mean, that's really crazy if you study the Word. The Nazarenes, their belief in the Holy Spirit is that you're sanctified. They don't even use the word being filled or baptized. They'll just X that out of the Bible. They will use the word sanctified, which means set apart. It's what the Holy Spirit, and we understand that's what he does. For a work. He sets us apart for a work. And I basically was kicked out of the Nazarene church because I began to study. You're not going to just tell me something and I'm going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. It's got to make sense. It's got to come out of that word. You know, I had we had a youth revival. Tent set up behind the church, and I was in charge of that. And I didn't even teach them anything. We played a record. We played a tape of a guy that got saved. He was a rock star. And he met Miss America and took her to a motel. Was going to bed her that night. Reached over and turned the television on. And Billy Graham was there and he got saved. They both got saved. And because of the Holy Spirit, they didn't know this, they were prompted to call somebody and be baptized in a motel. And so they opened up the phone book and the first church was Assembly of God. So they called this guy. Said, would you come over to the motel and baptism? He says, they got a pool. Well, yeah. Ask him if we can use it. They said, yeah. I mean, and so they went over there. It's a two-story inside motel. And there were some people looking over the side. This is the testimony. He took them down, and when they came up speaking in tongues. Well, that isn't what they said. They said, come up and speak in something we didn't understand. He said, we spoke, we didn't understand what we were saying. So there was, they went, there were some people looking on, and when they got up there to get to their room to change, they said, what did happen? He said, well, you spoke in tongues. And we explained to them something. And this was on the a little blurb on the testimony of these two people that God miraculously saved. They came to me and said, you're teaching our children tongues. I'm not teaching them nothing. What do I know about tongues? That's what I said. I couldn't teach it if I wanted to. I don't know anything about it. And they ragged on me and they ragged on me. And finally I said, here's what I hope. I hope if there is such thing as being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I hope it happens right in the middle of your church on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't there too long. You know what? Now you're thinking. The enemy doesn't want you to think. I never did understand that. I don't want to tell you what happened to a lot of those people's young people, their sons and daughters. Don't care. It's not my job. My job is to study to show myself approved.
Amen.
Right? Not to man.
Right.
You never can prove yourself to man. I'd tell any of you right now, you want me to prove myself to you? Don't even expect it. Not for a second. I've already proven myself to authority a lot higher than you, and I'm not going to do any kind of flips for you.
Amen.
Is that a bad attitude?
No, sir. Works for me.
Well, what proves people to people is a lifestyle. Not an action.
Yes.
It takes many actions to prove.
Yes.
It does to me anyway. You can talk a good talk all you want to, but I'm going to watch you walk. And praise the Lord, your salvation is never dependent on my opinion. Therefore, I can say the same thing to you, right?
That's right.
That's I do have confidence, and I hope you do too, in that other people's opinions. But let me say it correctly. When you stand before God, He's not going to ask anybody else about you.
That's right.
That just excites me. Nobody else can be called as witnesses for or against me.
That's right.
Because the accuser won't be present, I don't need a defense.
That's right.
Come on, y'all get excited about this.
Amen.
When I stumbled on that one in Revelation, not in the book, by the Holy Spirit, when I stand before God, there's not going to be an accuser.
Amen.
That's all we deal with. You understand that's all we deal with right now?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that bothers us to this day is the accuser.
Right.
And when he's removed, I'm already in heaven.
Amen.
I don't even have to answer God. I'm there as an approval, not as a question. Because if I'm not in front of him, then I'm going to be one over there that's gotten my knee bowed by force. If we bow now, we don't have to bow then. We stayed bowed here. You stay in that position. Amen?
Amen.
All right. They're nearly early. We're getting close to being late, too. I am tired. I mean, we beat it, man. And I'm tired. Sleepy. Need to go home and get some rest. So I'll be ready to fight the good fight tomorrow. Amen?
Amen?
I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does in us?
Yep.
I'm looking forward. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Well, what about this? No, I don't care about that. I'm anxious to see how God's going to work it out.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
All right. A little word of testimony. And it was brought up. Some of you know that my son got all worried and called a few people. Where are they? Because he couldn't get a hold of us. He calls every day. And he got worried and concerned because we didn't answer the phone. Up there's no phone. The testimony is there was a point in time in my son's life where he didn't think I was quite as smart as I know I am. I don't know where he got that from. But he decided to go a separate way, and I booted his butt and let him go on. And God took care of that.
Yep.
Over a period of a few years, God took care of that.
Yep.
And now, I'm a major influence in his life.
Praise God.
By his choice.
Amen.
It was by my choice when he was at home. It's by his choice now. I fully expect that about my daughter also. I'm not going to worry about that.
Amen.
God's got the thing under control.
Yes.
Amen. She's a little more hard-headed. I don't know where she gets that, but she'll get over it. She'll get over it.
Yes.
No. You've never met her. She's a pretty hard-headed outfit. But that's what God looks for. He loves hard-heads. Yep, once turned in the right direction, you can't shake them.
That's right.
I give him praise for that.
Amen.
All righty, let's... I haven't been in my bed for 3 nights, so I'm looking forward to that. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for that what we prayed for at the beginning has happened. We feel enlightened and encouraged, directed in your word and in your favor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the government and the plan that you set forth, that perfect thing. Teach us more and more to trust. Teach us more and more to love, to obey, to listen. Not to all these influences on the news and all this nonsense around us, the accusations, but to listen only to you so we know who we are and where we are. The only way we'll ever know. Teach us to be comfortable in that. So that you can be comfortable using us. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory forever. And in Jesus' name, and everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.